plan of God for our lives will take each one of us through different paths in life. Although we have the same promise in Christ, most of us attain to that promise through different experiences and plans. We also mentioned how at times the path that God chooses to take us through is not what we expect in life. We used the examples of some of the people that God really loves. And we had mentioned how when we talk about them, mainly we know about the victories. We emphasize the high point of their lives. And because this is usually what the emphasis is, most of us forget that they also went through unusual things. We used the example of Abraham. When we talk about Abraham, we remember he had certain thousands of sheep. Abraham's blessings are always ours. Just the really rosy things. But we went through scriptures at some of the frustrations of Father Abraham. How the father of many nations became the object of mockery. Because other Abimelech, all other big men around him were having children, but he did not have a child. And yet he was the one that said he saw a vision. And we're making the parallel that it's not much different from when we say that we are following Jesus. And the world expects that since we are following Jesus, things should start being rosy. And we studied the life of Abraham, how he did not lose faith. We heard some of his frustrations when he accosted the Lord in the 15th of Genesis and said, "Lord, but I have no child." And then the Lord began to reveal the bigger plan to him. "Let Abraham know that when I pulled you from the awe of the Chaldeans, it wasn't about you. You are not that special, Abraham. You are only special to the degree that I, your Lord, chose you. There was nothing about you. The plan I have is not just to bless you personally, but 430 years your descendants will be in the land of Egypt. And then I will remember their suffering. And then I will come to them." The Lord began to talk to him about things to come. Abraham's problems were about things now. But God was talking to him about things to come. And we saw that that was quite consistent when we picked up once again the life of Isaac, but especially of Joseph, a man that was the favorite of his father's household. Not only that, filled with the Spirit of the Lord at an early age, so much so that he saw visions. And then he had great dreams that God showed him, not Satan, God did. He saw the moon and the stars bow before him. And right after that, he was thrown in a pit and sold into slavery. As though that wasn't enough, not only was he a slave, he now became a prisoner slave. But God's plan for his life was still in operation. Because in due time, the baker had to have a dream. The butler had to have a dream. One of their heads had to go. Not because of Joseph, but because God's plan had to come to pass. And in due time, he became the prime minister of Egypt, and that is where we end the story of Joseph. We love that part. Until we examine where Joseph himself began to talk to his brothers, and he said, "You did not sell me into slavery. God did. Because he wanted to preserve your life. Because there are still 5 more years of famine. See how, since the time he was a baby, with a coat of many colors, a young man, God was already planning to preserve his brethren from a famine that was to come about 13 years after the fact. He did not know this plan, except by the revelation of God. So also we encourage one another that I don't know what phase of God's plan your life is in. Many times, when those disciples, when they left to follow Jesus, they were not expecting that some of them will end up being beheaded. So the Lord said, there are so many things that I want to tell you, but you cannot yet bear it. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were willing to give away this present life for the glory that was to be revealed to them. So we have a promise, and God has a plan. It's been consistent. In the life of Moses, last week, we also saw a man who, because God wanted to use him, every child 2 years male and below in Egypt for a period had to be killed. But the Lord preserved him. That was the method that God chose. And this child grew up in Egypt, in Pharaoh's palace. And after a while, he thought, well, who is the natural candidate to deliver Egypt? Me, of course. I'm well educated. I have a network. I'm influential in the palace. So he decided to kill one of his people's persecutors. That, of course, ended up being a shepherd in the field of another man for 40 years. He wasn't ready. So we learned last week that you don't call yourself. It's not by human abilities. God has a plan and he has a timing. And it will come to pass at the right time and the right timing. We should not go ahead of the Lord. The race is never to the swift. And we've been learning this because in life, when you look at Christians, they have the most unusual experiences. The most unusual. Right there in the Bible, a man was declared by angels to be the savior of the world. He ended up on a Roman cross. That's not how you would write such stories. Name any of them. All of the men of God. A man received a vision, and it was said regarding him that this is the man after my own heart. His name was David. Most of his children ended up bad children. Most of them, not exactly the ideal Christian family. His sons were killing each other. His son was raping his daughter. I mean, I've had this declaration before that children of pastors end up being, God forbid, end up being, you know, when we were growing up, we had the impression that pastors' kids are the more terrible ones. Well, there's a reason for that. But through it all, God's plan will prevail. So the question, the temptation that Satan gives to us is that we may want quick fixes. I pray that God will give us the patience to wait for him. I pray that the Lord will give us the patience to remember his promises and play for the long game. There are so many people who have been so frustrated with the path that God has chosen for them that they have since gone to look for other solutions. Some have gone to herbalists. Some have since forgotten their primary conviction in Christ. Some no longer believe in the path of righteousness because it's too hard. It's hard. Many of the disciples went back from following Jesus Christ. They said, this is hard saying. Who can take it? Our generation, we have to look at ourselves. We have to ask ourselves whether we are taking the easy route. Has it become too difficult to follow Jesus that in the workplace we are compromising? Have someone persuaded us that it's impossible to raise our children in the Christian way, and now, I don't know how to say it in English, we're cutting tricks? And how do you... cutting corners in righteousness. No. Are we beginning to use other methods apart from the biblical methods in our lives? In fact, Satan has a wonderful name for it. It says, use wisdom. In our wisdom, let's make sure that we're not compromising the standards of Christ. So we've been talking about God's plan and encouraging one another. It's never what we think. It's never how we think. But those who endure to the end will be saved. I pray that we will not take the broad way. The Lord said that the way that leads to hell, many people, it's the easier way to take. Many people find it. The gate is pearly, it's beautiful. But that way that goes to eternal life, the plan of God, the path is usually very rough. You get your feet bruised a little bit. And the gates, I remember some gates way back when we were growing up. You visit some people and you see rusted gates. You literally have to lift the gate up in order to open it, and then you drive in, and then that's the way the gate that goes. That's the way that the gate that goes to heaven. It's a very few people we find it. May the Lord help us to find the difficult way. God's plan for our lives. This morning, I'd like us to open to Genesis chapter 15 again. And you see, we have been examining these men, and I asked myself, what is peculiar about these men that walked with the Lord according to God's plan? We hear the promises of God for them, and we know the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I. Mommy Ali may have been promised in private a big mansion and a house. You don't know. You might have. I mean, may have. God promises some people. I may not, but there's one promise that Mommy Ali and everyone who believes in Jesus here shares. We will see Jesus. We can debate what car you will drive, what neighborhood you will live in by the grace of God. Different paths for different Christians. We can debate how many children you will have or not have. That is for God. But one thing that we cannot debate, there is a promise as sure as the promise that God made to Abraham, is that Jesus will come and wipe away tears from all our faces. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. God's plan is to bring us to that expected end, each and every one of us in Christ. He said, we will shine like a royal diadem in the palace of our God. It is very difficult, brethren, to focus on this promise. But unless we learn to focus on this promise, we'll be discouraged in this walk. It is very easy to begin to reach for lower hanging fruit. The promises of God never fails. If he has not promised you a mansion, you will never have it. If you have it, it will not bring peace and joy to your life. God never makes mistakes. What he has proposed for your life, you cannot pray it away. You cannot pray it inside. I mean, let me say, it's better you don't. But we have to trust. One thing we do know, just like Joseph said, although he became a prime minister, Joseph knew that wasn't the promise of God for his life. That is just a plot. So he said to his brothers, that behold, my God will visit you. And when he visits you and you return to the land that he has promised to our fathers, dig up my bones and take it with you. Because the promise of God was that Joseph, Abraham, Jacob would inherit the promised land, and they believed. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 15. I'm just going to read the sentence. This was Abraham. It simply says, and he believed in the Lord, and God accorded it to him as righteousness. I've noticed something special about every man or woman of God in the Bible. They believed. Their lives may have taken different turns. You could take away their freedom. You could take away their home. You take away their freedom, like Joseph's freedom was taken away. You could take away their life, like the life of Stephen was taken away. You could take away their children, like the children of Job were taken away. But one thing you could never take away was their faith in their God. What kind of faith is this, brothers and sisters? That says, I know my Redeemer lives. Even if my outer man dies, my inner man will be renewed. With my eyes, I will see him. Do you believe that everything that Jesus has spoken to you, those wonderful things that make your spirit excited, that made you Christians in the first place, do you believe they will come to pass? Satan at times batters us so much, we begin to doubt whether this God we have is even powerful. Reckon if he cannot build me a house, how am I sure he's going to build me one in heaven? Because that's not his plan. His plan is to bring you to unexpected. He dictates the timing. But all of these men and women, I saw they had faith. Every single one of them believed in the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Verse 45. And this was when Mary visited with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said something to Mary. Said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Isn't it incredible to believe that through these really unnatural means, a woman will be pregnant? And she said, be it unto me according to thy words, O Lord. One thing that impresses the Lord always is our faith. You know, the tendency is to, at this point, just throw your answer. Of course, we all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to please meditate seriously about that word, faith and belief. Be it Joseph. Joseph was about to die, and he was speaking about things to come. Jacob, about things to come. Christ has told us about things to come. Do you really believe that one day each one of us will reign with Christ eternally? Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 29. John 20, 29. This was a story of Thomas. In 29, I just want to read a statement by the Lord. He said, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed. Why is this word belief so important to God? Do you know most of the New Testament, the only thing the Bible tells us to do is to believe? Why is it so important to the Lord? Blessed are those who yet have not seen, who have not seen yet believe. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith, it's not just possible to please the Lord. There's a character. When the Lord squeezes you, when the Lord deals with you, when the Lord deliberately makes the road to be confusing in your sight, there's one character in man that makes a man continue to lean on him as a little child clings to her mother that pleases the Lord. And without that character, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to the Lord must believe that he is, not just that he is good, and there's reward. And their suffering is not in vain. I know we have, there's been a lot of sermons on belief, but I just kind of think this belief thing is a little bit deeper than we think. I don't think this belief thing is merely agreeing with the head. And we stay on that Hebrews 11 to study some of the characters of belief. What does it mean? Because we say, those who believe in Jesus, raise up your hand. Every Christian will raise up their hands. But I have news. Not all of us who confess or profess to believe really believe. We agree, but we don't believe. We agree that Jesus is Lord, but we really do not believe. I was asking my wife yesterday, I said, truly, I have to examine this belief thing. Because if I really believe that the moment I close my eyes in death, that angels are celebrating around me, and I will have real estate in the New Jerusalem, why will it be so, no, why will it be so sad for the church that have gone? I mean, shouldn't this morning we're celebrating birthday with drums? If one of us checks out, and we really, 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 really believe, shouldn't we roll out the drums? If someone was to relocate to LA, Beverly Hills, and we have the picture of Beverly Hills mansion, the only thing is at the other side of the coast. So we're not going to be seeing them. The chances are that in a while we won't see them. But they showed us the deed of their mansion. They have swimming pool. They have Bentley. They have a great job, you know. What we'll say is that the person has stepped up. And it's okay, we'll miss you, but you know, you stepped up. Shouldn't our relocation to heaven be like that? Paul said, may the Lord help me that my faith is that strong. He said, it's far better for me to go. He said, the only reason I'm here is that it's necessary for you because I need to keep teaching you. But if you left me a choice, I'd rather be gone. He saw something. I pray that the Lord will magnify his promise in our sight so that we'll be Christians set apart, that we believe. In that Hebrews 11 one, say, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you say substance, it means you touch it. Faith is as though you touch something that is not there, like I'm touching Sister Megan. If she's there, I mean, I have the benefit of touch to know she's there. But supposing she wasn't there, and it's as if I'm touching her. And it's the evidence. Faith is what you have when you take a check to the bank. It's just a piece of paper. But you are confident that by the time you step out, you bring some, provided you have something in there, right? It's the evidence of the cash that's not seen. Faith is not hope. Faith is hope apprehended before its time. That is the kind of faith that God is calling us to. My job, and I hope I won't keep us for a long time today, is just to get us curious to study about faith. Because I sincerely believe that faith has not been well taught in many quarters for the past maybe 30, 40 years in the church. The faith that we talk about, when I look at the faith that is exercised in the Bible, I think the one in the Bible seems a little stronger. Which is why when trial comes and this faith is tested, many times many people's faith cannot stand the trial. Because they think they believe. But maybe we really don't understand what Jesus is requiring from us when he said believe. Maybe he's not simply saying agreeing that the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, what's the big deal about that? Even demons believe and they tremble. So he's not merely saying agree that Jesus resurrected. He He's saying, buy into my plan for you. He said, the kingdom of God is like a householder. It's like, a treasure hunter who went out and discovered a pearl that is precious. And that pearl that we've discovered is the kingdom of God. And this person was willing to go back home and sell everything he has just to buy that pearl. He's so sure about the quality of what he found in the field. Verse 8, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going. I'd like just to draw a parallel between what we are waiting for in Abraham. Are we not called this morning to go to a place that we've never been to as well? Who here has been to heaven? Who here has a relative that came back to tell us what heaven looks like? Who knows how you get there? Whether it's by chariot or by transubstantiation or by, we don't know. All we know is the gate is death. And for some, it will not be death, like Enoch. Who knows? If the trumpet sounds now, it will be instant transfer. You know, like they do in Nigeria. It's ping and it's instant transfer of money. So like Abraham, God had a plan. His plan for us is that we will inherit the kingdom through Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, if we believe in Jesus. But what did Abraham's faith do? Verse 9. His faith was such that he dwelt in the land of promise as though he was in a foreign land. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Many of us, once we get the house that is built with human hand, we take that as the promise of God. And we stop attending church. Because the reason you are serving God in the first place is because of the house, the comfort, everything is fine. I don't know how many times I've seen this lived out in America. You receive a family from Nigeria that is fervent in the spirit. Their testimony was testimony of great churchgoers. And they migrate, give them 2 years. You don't find them in Bible study and prayer meeting anymore. 100% of the time, some were ridiculous enough to say, so what will I pray for? Is it that life should not go? Everything I'm praying for, I have already. They thought they had faith. Abraham did not settle. He did not begin to meditate and dwell on his 1,000 sheep. He eventually had sons. He did not settle. He had a higher goal. He was looking for a land that is not made with human hands, whose foundation was not laid by man. The substance of things hoped for. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11 said, all of these, the people he mentioned earlier, he said they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them. They confessed them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the world. I noted the list. I call these the attributes of true faith. He believed. He obeyed. He lived as a stranger. He lived in tents. He was waiting for another city. He saw it afar off. Is this your attitude towards heaven as we sit down this morning? He was assured of them. He embraced the promise of Christ. He confessed the promise of Christ, because something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Anything you truly have faith in, you will talk about it. I've never seen a sportsman that has confidence in his equipment and does not talk about it. Or a soldier I heard that in the army, your rifle, which is your main equipment, is so dear to you, you will oil it and clean it and take care of it. And faith is our equipment. I want you to think about those characters of faith. He lived in a tent. Do you live on this earth as though you lived in a tent? Do you know that this world is not our home? This world is not my home. I'm just a sinner. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You don't hear such songs. That was Jim Reeves, right? Fantastic song. When last do you find Christian? This world is not my home. I am just passing through. I've forgotten that song. The angels beckon me. Where Sister Kemi, I tell you, and I can't feel at home in this child anymore. Are you comfortable? Abraham was not comfortable, although he had 1,000 sheep. He had 2 sons. He had daughters. But he was looking for a better thing. Many of us have settled. We've arrived. We are still on the journey and we think we've arrived. It is when the cloud opens and the Lord begins to distribute his gift to his children that we will see that the treasures of this world, that moth will eat them and they will rust. This is the great hope that makes us gather, brothers and sisters. This is why we're in church. That problem is temporary. People have had it before. After you people, we have it. It is just the way God made the world. This world is made for trouble. We cannot pray it away. Since the time of Adam, there has been trouble. Until Jesus returns, there will be trouble. Different shades and color of problems. You can't escape. Whether you're a prayer warrior or you're not a prayer warrior, trouble. I think it's time we start looking to a city that is not made with hands. The Son of Glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, trouble. He died on the cross. He was hungry like the rest of us. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured all of those. I just want to challenge us as Christians to remember why we are Christians. We are playing for a bigger game. Our inheritance is much more precious than this. Jesus said, "Loveth thou me more than this fish, this fishing." Let's remember the voice of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and believe in him. Verse 14, Hebrews 11, it said, "For those who say such things," those who are always talking about heaven, those who are always remembering the place of rest that Jesus has given, the Lord has not given me the same journey. Brabumi's journey may be more difficult or easier than yours, but we have the same destination. And that destination is comfort enough for all. No matter the problem you've had in life, when you get there, you say it is well worth it. In fact, you will say, "I will endure 1,000 times what, Lord, you gave me for this place of rest." But there remaineth a rest for the sons of God. That is what Jesus came preaching, an eternal rest for you and I. He said, "For those who say such things, they declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Please note verse 15, Hebrews 11. If they had called to mind, if they allowed themselves to remember too much, the country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. Do you understand what that means? Sister Megan, you understand what that means? If we dwell too much on the things of the world, we'll not be able to make progress towards eternal life. If we let the world, the matters, the affairs of this world, if we let it dwell too much in our hearts, then there will always be reason to forget eternity. But we must remind one another, brothers and sisters, about our destination. We must remind ourselves why we were Christians in the first place. We must remind ourselves about the grace and the glory of the Almighty God, whose purpose for us is eternal. Whose plan for us is to bring us to an expected end. Verse 16 says, but now they desire a better, that is heaven, a heavenly country. Therefore, God himself is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God looks down and he looks at each one of us. He knows what we are thinking. If the greater degree of your prayer point is that you may see the glory of the Lord is pleased with you. But if in the morning your greater prayer point is how you may just survive and get a better life for yourself and all of these things that die with the moment, then the Lord is not pleased. Because he has a better plan for you and he wants you to believe. The values, the true character of faith. Go to verse 23 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God and to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That is the character of faith. Many of us glory in the title the world has called us, doctor, lawyer, and we settle. We glory in the status, the fake statuses it has bestowed upon us. We do not glory. We are not proud of Jesus Christ. Moses was a prince in the palace of Pharaoh. He had it. The Bible tells us here that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Is that your choice this morning as you sit? This is the word of God, brothers and sisters. What do we glory in? Because the true flavor of faith is that we would rather be called Christian with all the accompanying insults than be called successful as the word defines success. But at times what we strive after is the success of the flesh, and we're not even disturbed that we don't have a reputation as Christians. This ought not to be so. This is the word of God. So when we say we have faith and we believe, this is the expectation that God, this was why God was pleased with Moses and God was pleased with Abraham. It's not just because they agreed with his plan. It's because their whole soul clung to the word of God. May the Lord help us to be like this. May the Lord help us to believe God, to rejoice in it. Although we are not there yet, may the Lord help us to possess eternity in our hearts. He said he will rather suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Where are the Christians today that will say, others may, I will not? Where are the Christians that will insist, I'm not going to give that kickback because I don't want you to say that you are the one that made me, like Abraham did? May the Lord help us. This is faith, brothers and sisters. This is the true faith that God, and I mean, there are many, 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 many more examples. So let's go home and pray that the Lord, that person said, Lord, increase my faith. It's a legitimate prayer. Let's pray that God will make our faith strong. Let's pray that God will help us to play for the bigger game, which is eternity in Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Now, when we also think and talk about Bible characters, let us also think carefully about many things that they suffer and the choices that they made. Hebrews chapter 13, as we draw to a close. Verse 12 down, it says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, say, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp of this world. May the Lord help us. Let us go outside of this world system. Let us be one of those minority of Christians who will be set apart and be proud of Christ. Let's go outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we, just like Abraham, we seek a city that is to come. May the Lord bless us and keep us and help us. I've spoken to you this morning the word of the living God. Brethren, the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is that that Christian should have a false hope. The worst thing that can happen to a Christian is that the trumpet should sound. And because of certain aspects of the Bible that we have ignored, we find ourselves at the point when it's too late to repent, that there are fulfillments of this word that have not been accomplished in our lives. It is better when we know the truth on this side of eternity. Do not be easy on yourself. Please do not be one of those who think that the kingdom of God, the Bible says since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and men of violence will take it by force. The kingdom of God is not for the easy. It's not just out there. The kingdom that the Son of God died for is... It's not just out there for those whose faith easy faith. Because God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. The kingdom of God is not in coming to church and simply singing his praises. The kingdom of God is that our very lives we bear witness that we believe in the Almighty God. Where your money goes to, where your time goes to, the bulk of your meditation will be full of grace and of seeking the Lord. Every man who picks a microphone, whether big or small, to preach about Jesus, if you preach anything less than this, you're a deceiver. Christ and his disciples did not come preaching easy believism. Come to church, be a member of New Covenant Church, and then it means you are going to heaven. As shepherds, we are obligated to remind you that Christ is coming anytime, and he's going to try every soul in the light of his word. It will not matter what church you belong to. It will not matter when you were born, when you were not born. He said, I myself will not judge you, but every word that I've spoken, all of my energy, by the grace of God, every time that I have the opportunity to pick up the word of God, to the best of the ability that God has shown me, may I never add a word outside of what Christ has spoken to it. This is the standard. You're supposed to hear and let your heart seek after the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. May we not comfort those that Christ has not comforted, and may we not disturb the mind of those whose mind Christ has not disturbed. We can only do what Christ has sent. I pray the Lord will deliver me from every condemnation. Personally, I will stand in witness to my sins before God. But regarding the word of God, I pray that I've delivered it to you at all times, faithfully, with clarity. I am in the least interested in churching. Churches are made by men and for men. I'm interested that I be found representing my Savior accurately. The Bible says if any man speaks, he must speak only as an oracle of the Most High God. It means you are not permitted to speak what you think. I'm not permitted to add my wisdom. I must declare. Paul said, I've not refused to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Brethren, as we close this morning, I'm just saying, lay hold on eternal life. Jesus is love. Everything you have heard about, it's real. Discover God yourself. Make sure what you confess with your lips is true in your life. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Believe in the Lord. I wrote a passage down that I'd like us to read and then we'll close. Miracle, remember that passage that that Tayo gave us last night when we were praying? Yeah, no, it's not. I remember I can quote it, but I want us to read it. Okay, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. I beg you in the name of the Lord, please take seriously every word that you are hearing today. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ. These words are more precious than all the certificates that we've earned in life. These are the word of life. Let your heart be in crisis until Jesus comforts you. The Bible says those who sleep, they sleep at night. But we should not be like them. We are children of the day. Where Abraham was striving, don't be found sleeping. Where Moses was hoping against hope, please don't be found sleeping. If all others will not, make sure you do. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. 7 verse 9 as we close. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaleh's son. Be part. Listen to this. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Blessed is the man who yet not, having seen, believes. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I especially thank you because it's so just, more than any human being. All of us are here temporarily. Lord, you refresh the surface of the earth with new human beings from generation to generation, but your word does not change. I want to thank you for the privilege, Lord, of seeing these things in the Bible and allowing my brothers and sisters to also see this. Father, your word is a light and a lamp. You do not play games. You gave your only begotten son, and he was crucified, and he died, not that we may play games, Lord, but that with our whole soul, our whole body, we may love the Lord our God and follow you. That we may renounce the hidden things of unrighteousness. Jesus, you paid the price and you earned the right to have your word heard. My Lord God Almighty, let your grace now come upon us. Father, no longer will we have to persuade people that we're disciples of the Most High God. You said that you said to the Jews who believed in you, that if you continue and abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Help us to be those disciples who believe in you, who also abide in your word, and who the truth has set them free, in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Ghost of promise. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.